That is good news. There is no more good news that can be found in Scripture than the 40th chapter of the book of Isaiah, because these beautiful words that you just heard were delivered to the exiles in Babylon. And God told them finally, after 70 long years, you're coming back home. And I'm going to prepare the way. All those valleys that you're worried about going across, I'm going to lift them up. They're going to be exalted. And all those mountains and hills are going to be made low. God is creating a superhighway for you to come home. There's good news in the book of Isaiah. I know some of you are studying the book of Jeremiah. Not much good news there, is there? Bless his heart, that's why we call him the weeping prophet. But Isaiah is full of good news. And it reminds me, many, many years ago, when I was in college, so you know that was long ago and far away, on Sundays, the preacher boys, that's what they called us, the preacher boys would go off somewhere in the state and we would preach. We'd go to all these little churches. And I remember that when we would gather to come back to school that afternoon, I remember some of the boys saying, "Man, I told them about it today. I let them have it. I told them they better straighten up, they better fly right." And they were prophets. They're probably preaching out of Jeremiah. And they would say things like that. And then one day, I'll never forget this, I had a philosophy professor, Dr. Mabry Lunsford. He was one of the kindest, most gentle spirits that I have ever known. And he looked across his class. He broke away from Plato and Aristotle and Socrates to say this. He said, "Boys, the gospel is good news." He said, "You have good news to share. You don't need to be talking about bad news. You have good news." He said, "One of the greatest joys in life is proclaiming the good news. So go out and share good news." Tina, we have good news to share in Sunday school. Unless you're focused on Jeremiah. We'll get back to that. We have good news to share. And that's what worship is all about. Do you know people gather in celebration when there is good news? In the act of worship, we receive good news. And then we leave the walls of this church to go out and share the good news. Back in February, Mr. George Mendoza died. He was 95 years old, lived in Rhode Island. At his funeral service, that was a full military service because he was a World War II veteran. An officer from the United States Navy knelt down before his widow. His wife, Rita, they had been married over 70 years, and she was in a wheelchair, and he presented her with a flag because he had served our nation in the Pacific in the Second World War. George and Rita had their first date on August the 14th, 1945. He had met her a few days before at a cookout, and he said later he immediately fell in love with her, that she was the most beautiful girl he had ever seen. On the day of their first date, he dressed in his formal navy blues, and they caught the train, and they rode to Midtown Manhattan. They wanted to go and see a movie matinee. But George was having difficulty getting over what had happened to him in service. He had been in the Pacific. And 3 months before, one morning, he was standing on the deck of his ship, the USS The Sullivans, and he watched in the distance as two Japanese kamikaze planes crashed into the nearby USS Bunker Hill. As they did, it created a series of explosions that killed almost 350 sailors. Immediately, the Sullivans went into a rescue operation. And for the next few hours, George and his fellow sailors were doing all that they could to rescue those sailors from the fiery waters. They were pulling them out, many of them in agony, many of them badly burned. George never got over the suffering and the carnage that he saw that day. But there was another image. There was another image as he would look over, he would see the nurses. And he saw these wonderful nurses with hearts of compassion as they would kneel over, as they would do everything they could to comfort, to bring healing and peace to many of these sailors who were dying, many of them seriously, seriously injured. He never got over the acts of compassion and mercy of those nurses. All of that was going through his mind that day on the 14th of August as he and Rita went on their first date, the most beautiful girl he had ever seen. They went to Radio City Music Hall, where there was an afternoon matinee, but they never saw the end of the movie. Because about midway through the movie, suddenly there was a pounding at the doors. The movie stopped. The lights came on in the theater, and someone made the announcement, "The Japanese have just surrendered. The war is over." And George and Rita rushed with everyone else out onto the streets of New York. Hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people were gathering to celebrate. They were walking down the streets. They went into a bar where all of the drinks were on the house. Everybody was celebrating. They finally went to Times Square. And as George was walking through Times Square, looking at all of these people celebrating good news, he saw a nurse. And his mind went back 3 months before to the image of those nurses providing compassion and healing and mercy and grace. And suddenly, he grabbed that nurse, he twirled her around, leaned her over, and gave her a kiss for the ages. You don't know George Mendoza, but you've seen his picture. You've seen the picture of the sailor kissing the nurse in Times Square, celebrating good news. He had never seen that girl before. She had never seen him. The interesting thing about that picture is, if you look in the background, you see a somewhat startled Rita, the most beautiful girl he had ever seen. She later said that she didn't blame him for that kiss because she understood what that nurse symbolized and why it was so important for him to do what he did. But then she quickly added, "But he never, ever gave me a kiss like that." And they were happily married for over 70 years. We celebrate good news. And that's what happens every time we gather to worship. We come together because of good news. We have good news to share. We have good news to proclaim, the good news of the gospel. But in the act of worship, we also receive good news. Now, this passage that Gene read this morning from the sixth chapter of Isaiah, it is the call of the great prophet. Isaiah wanders into the temple one day, but he doesn't have good news. Because if you notice the beginning of the reading, it tells us that this happened in the year of the death of King Uzziah. King Uzziah had been one of the best kings. It was under his reign that the people experienced economic prosperity. It was under his reign that there was a time of peace. There were no threats from external enemies. It was a happy time. It was a joyful time. People prospered, but one day the good King Uzziah died and everything started to fall apart. And Isaiah must have been wondering, what will we do? We have lost our leader. We have lost our king. But he wanders into the temple that day, and you notice that in the year of the death of King Uzziah, he sees the Lord. He had been in the temple many times before, but this is the first time that he had actually seen the Lord. He was high and he was lifted up. He was exalted. And then suddenly, you have that scene with those flying creatures with six wings. You have the seraphim who are flying all over the temple, and they're calling out the word Kadosh, which is the word holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. You know what the word holy means? It means not like us. It means other than. This Lord is not like King Uzziah. This Lord is different than any one person or reality that we have ever experienced. And suddenly, in the midst of that overpowering experience, Isaiah feels like he is being destroyed, for he found himself with the smoke filling the temple and the foundations shaking. Here was a sinful man in the presence of the holy God. And he simply cried out, "Woe is me, I'm being destroyed. I'm not worthy to be in this place. I'm a man of unclean lips. I am not worthy to be in the presence of a holy, exalted, almighty, creative God." Some of you might remember a few weeks ago, I talked about a baccalaureate address that the political commentator George Will delivered to the graduates of Princeton University back in May. It was a remarkable address in which he talked about the fact that we as a culture have lost the art of praise. He bemoaned the fact that we live in a culture in which we are constantly tearing other people down, in which we are super critical, in which we're always finding faults, in which we're hurling insults. And he challenged the graduates that day to recover the art of praise, how to lift people up, how to affirm people and not tear them down. It's a wonderful address. But he started his remarks by telling the graduates that at the last time he addressed a graduating class, he said, "I had a captive audience," because he was addressing 37 college graduates in Sing Sing prison. They had earned their college degree. One inmate came up to him and said, "I did this so people will know that prison is not a landfill, but a recycling center." And one of the things that impressed George Will was simply this. He said every one of those men, 37 of them, to the man, used the same vocabulary. They talked about bad choices. They said, we made bad choices in life. Here are men who have committed some of the most serious crimes. He said they didn't blame it on their childhood, although most all of those men had a troubled childhood. He said they owned up to their mistakes. They took full responsibility for their actions. They came clean. That's what confession is. That's what happens in worship when we become like Isaiah, when we confess we don't deserve to be here. We don't deserve this mercy and grace. We have made bad choices. We all make bad choices in life. Some are much more serious than others. There are many people whose lives are changed forever because of a bad choice in terms of relationships. Jean and I and Ella Ray, we were out at the fair the other night, and Ella Ray and I got a funnel cake with powdered sugar. It was good, wasn't it? So we went into the office, and Jean was in there and some sheriff's deputies. And I saw that Jean was having a conversation with the deputies. Did you know Jean Klump used to be a sheriff's deputy? True, right? They're looking at me like, do what? You got any pictures? But Jean was on the sheriff's department, and they were talking about how much things had changed. But the one thing, you remember what one of those guys said? He said, you know the biggest change? He said the great majority of our time is spent dealing with drug-related issues, with people who make bad choices because of drugs. It's one of the biggest issues that we have in our society today. But what happens in worship? In worship, we confess we're all sinners. We've fallen short of the glory of God. And then this miraculous thing happened. One of the seraphim went and took a burning coal and placed it on the lips of the prophet Isaiah. Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin is forgiven. In that terrible and horrifying moment, much like the moment that George Mendoza experienced with that burning ship and all of those terribly injured sailors, in that one moment, suddenly there was a moment of grace. Suddenly there was a moment of healing. There was a moment of restoration. There was good news. Your sins are forgiven. Even though they may be red like crimson, they shall be washed as white as snow. And so we can leave this place. We can leave this place as forgiven people. But the good news doesn't stop, because you see, at the conclusion of a service, we have a benediction. And that word benediction just simply means a good word. A good word. If you see in your bulletin, some of you know the name of John Claypool. John Claypool was a Baptist minister. Later he became an Episcopal minister. He spoke at our church on one occasion. But John Claypool wrote his own benediction. And we're going to use this at the conclusion of our service today. And I think it is a wonderful benediction. Depart now in the fellowship of God the Father. And as you go, remember, in the goodness of God, you were born into this world. By the grace of God, you have been kept all the day long, even unto this hour. And by the love of God, fully revealed in the face of Jesus, you are being redeemed. That's the good news. And so the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, and he said, who will go for us? Whom shall I send? Who will go? Who will go and share this good news? We have children who are hungry. Who will go with the good news? We have a society in which people are oppressed by injustice. Who will go with the good news? We have people whose lives are downtrodden because of the bad choices that they have made. Who will go with the good news? We gather because of good news. We receive the good news of forgiveness, and we depart, we leave this place with good news to share. And so my challenge to you is simply this. Whom shall we send? Who will go? Will you answer as the prophet Isaiah, "Here am I, send me"? I have good news to share. There is work to be done.